Well, once again, we all muddle through changing and toying with the time, right? You got a gift this morning. You got an extra hour of sleep. Even better. We were afraid that Liberty, our yellow lab, who has been getting up at 4:45 in the morning for some reason, now that she's all well, would be getting up at 3:45. So we locked her out of the bedroom, and she was actually a good girl. She actually slept until what would be 10 to 6, so that was a good thing. And I was wide awake at 6 o'clock thinking I should already be at church. So here we are. This morning, we celebrate the Feast of All Saints Transferred. All Saints Day, of course, was Thursday, November 1st. And All Saints, the Feast of All Saints, is one of those feasts that's just, and I hate to use the parlance, but kind of a feel-good feast. It's one of those feasts that we can sort of just move into and feel really, really good. That is until you start to study in depth the lives of the saints. I have Butler's Lives of the Saints. It's a 4-volume set. That's probably, each volume is probably about 3.5 inches thick. It has hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of saints from the smallest minor to the major ones. And when you begin to read their accomplishments, you know, the apostles and the martyrs and the prophets and all those things, those who were so learned and those who were so willing to sacrifice their lives for the cause of the gospel and the sake of the cross, those who simply stayed on their knees and prayed and offered themselves to the Lord in prayerful obedience, and people, again, that we don't even know about, it can make you feel kind of small. It can make you feel like, you know, I can never attain to that. I can never get to that place. But nothing could be further from the truth. Because when we talk about the saints, we have to talk about the saints in the context of the communion of saints. And the communion of saints is that mysterious, mystical, and I don't mean in the sense of Sherlock Holmes or your favorite mystery writer. It's not the mysterious thing like that. It's a mystery because God has revealed certain things to us because we are not able with our intellect or our heart to grasp the fullness of what his revelation is for us. And so, simply put, the communion of saints is that relationship that continues between those who have gone before us, those who are listed in Butler's Lives of Saints, who did wonderful things for the church, and, as the great hymn says, all those that we don't know, you know, who have gone before as well, who are in that place, wherever that place is. Maybe that place is up there somewhere, and maybe we're down here someplace. You know, Rudolf Bultmann had that three-tiered understanding of the universe, heaven, earth, hell, that sort of thing. Maybe we think about it in that three-tiered way. But it's not that. It's not that they're up there removed and apart from us and we're down here groveling, trying to attain to that. We're all joined and knit together, as the Collect tells us. We're all joined and knit together in a wonderful, mysterious, powerful, loving way that God has provided for us. I used to do occasionally this little exercise in my last parish. I'd get a big ball of the multicolored, you know, yarn, you know, that stuff that's like the rainbow stuff. And I'd hold the end, and then I'd give the ball to Maria and ask her to give it to Bart, to Jennifer, to Chris, to Tim, to Robert. Go back, do, come back up the front to our wonderful family guests here today, to Brandon, to his mom, to his grandmother, to that. And we would all be joined together by that piece of yarn, right? And I would say, now pick up, you know, put the yarn up and twist it. And you'd see this wonderful nexus of everybody being joined together. And I would say, think about that now in 3 dimension. It's not that just we're connected, and we are in this space and time as we worship the Lord. And in a few minutes, we bring Brandon into the full communion of the church through baptism. But we're also connected with those who have gone before us, both those who are known and unknown. And in that beautiful mystery that God has provided, we find the deepest of relationships. We find the deepest caring that God has for us. There really is no separation between there, wherever there is, and here. We are part of Christ's one holy Catholic Apostolic Church, and we are part of his body. And the communion of saints represents that relationship between those who have gone before and those who are here. It's not some special club. It's not some special thing that you have to do to get into. You simply have to love the Lord as the saints that have gone before have done, to persevere in that. And they were very, very imperfect, very imperfect. If you read their little biops in the Butler's Lives of Saints or otherwise online and wiki, you know, you'll hear all the miraculous things and some of the traditional things that we attribute to them and some of the small c, things that were remembered or not remembered. But we don't often hear, you know, how they often failed and they often fell short. But they did many, many times. Just like who? Just like us, right? Just like us. But what did they know and what did they do? They were able to go on and persevere. They were to ask for that forgiveness and receive it, just as we do, no matter how many times we ask. When we fall short of the glory of God, as you always hear me say, and we ask, God restores us back to that place of right relationship with him. But the communion of saints is that wonderful gift, again, that God gives us, that we know that we are connected with those who have gone before us. It's not anything that can be broken. It's not anything that can be breached. It's not anything that can be destroyed, because God, in his mysterious, loving, powerful way, has created that relationship with him and those who have gone before. And what connects us to this moment? What are the two things that connect us? Holy baptism and the Eucharist. When we share in the Eucharist, we share with the communion of saints. I used to tell my kids, you've heard me say this too, when I do First Communion, about the angels flitting over the altar, you know, at the holy, 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 and that was kind of a cool thing. But I also sometimes throw in that at the Eucharist as well, there is the whole host of heaven as well. All of the saints, the prophets, the martyrs, the apostles, all of them present. Not distant and removed, not gone and forgotten, but there and present in the Eucharist in which we receive our Lord, body, soul, mind, and divinity. But above all, and most importantly, we share in the baptism that our Lord shared, and we share in the baptism that each of them shared as well. It's into that baptism that we will welcome in the fullness of the church, Brandon, in a few moments. So you will be in good stead, in very, very good stead. And they will be applauding and cheering as we pour the water over your head. So just have that image in your head. So we share that. We share the fullness of the communion through Holy Eucharist and Holy Baptism. But in the meantime, until we get from there to there, what are we to do? What are we to do? We are to persevere. We are to go forward. We are to remember always that we're part of that wonderful relationship that is the communion of saints, but that we still have work to do in this space and time. I think St. Paul, and I shared this on Wednesday, but I will share it again. I think St. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, sums it up the best. He's talking about the sufferings that he shares, and he hopes, if possible, to attain to the resurrection from the dead. And he says, very humbly, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect." All perfect people, raise your hand. Yeah, there you go. That says it right there. Even St. Paul knew that. "Not that I am perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brethren, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but one thing I do forget. I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." You can't change the past. You have to live in the present, and you can strive for the future, a future that's grounded in a love that's more powerful than death, a love that overcame both the grave and sin, and a love in which we participate in a deep, abiding, and unbroken relationship with the communion of saints and our Lord himself. So without further ado, we'll stand and sing hymn 296, and with all the saints, we'll welcome Brandon into the fullness of the communion.